still delicious. Coming next to the stage, I'm very excited for this. So, first in Chicago, this gentleman started doing the show a lot. A game designer by the name of James D'Amato, and he always knocked it out of the park. And then James introduced me to his sister, who lives in L.A., Faith D'Amato. We bonded over a Girl Meets World podcast she did. It's cool, guys. The Girl Meets World is fine, whatever. And Faith came and did our show, and we were in L.A., and she's great. And now, as it happens, the mother of Faith and James lives in Denver, and she is here to do our show tonight. Please welcome Kathy D'Amato.
I am extremely, extremely nervous, but thanks for having me.
Go, Kathy.
I live in Denver, but my accent is from Boston. I haven't lived there in about 40 years. I can't shake it. My kids, on the other hand, have no accent. I joke and say they're not from anywhere. They have no roots. But they can do accents, and I'm jealous of their ability. It's one of the things that I'm proud about, an ability to do accents. My husband and I are both business majors. We studied accounting. We got well-paying jobs in public accounting when we graduated, and we graduated in a time of high unemployment, exploding gas prices, and crazy high inflation. Inflation was so high, our first mortgage was at about 14%. So the two accountants gave birth to two performers. And Cliff and I are shy people. I can barely talk at cocktail parties, never mind what I'm doing here. Cliff was the head of a retirement services company and dreaded those company-wide addresses. How in the world did we create these two kids? When Cliff retired, one thing he did was play in a charity golf tournament. The format was four amateurs playing with a golf pro. One day he played with Mike Weir, a pretty well-known Canadian golfer. Mike had a gallery of about 50 people following his game, and it grew to 100 as the match neared the end. Now, many people who enjoy golf love to play, but don't want to play in front of strangers, even on something like a Saturday pickup game. And here is my husband playing in front of more and more people. Coming down to the final hole, he beat Mike Weir on that hole and played the best round of golf in his life to that point. The next day he was in a similar situation. There were grandstands around some of the greens, and they had some spectators, and Cliff's putting was amazing. That's when it dawned on me. He excelled in the spotlight. The performance gene comes from my husband's gene pool. Now, I'm comfortable about my kids' pursuits, as dumb as they are. When James graduated college in 2010, there were few opportunities, especially for liberal arts majors. So he agreed to support his pursuit of improv comedy, which eventually led to his Overshare podcast. He was asked to develop a podcast which turned into One Shot. At that time, my husband was at the breaking point. The economy was getting better, jobs were a bit more available, and Cliff felt it was time to grow up. I saw that One Shot had a larger audience than Overshare, and it was growing. Role-playing games were something we never knew about. James had taken them up in college, so we weren't exposed to them. But I looked into it a teeny bit, and I came to this conclusion. If the market for RPGs was just 1 million people, and James somehow got everyone in the market to give him $1 each, he'd be a millionaire. I also said to Cliff that if someone had said to him, "You could never make money in retirement services," his final job choice, said we wouldn't be where we are. Just because we don't understand RPGs doesn't make them a small business. Cliff conceded with a grumble for a short time, and then we watched James's business grow, and we were astounded. Faith, that other piece of work, is as crazy for pursuing acting. She was 4 when we lived in the suburbs of New York City. A family with a 5-year-old girl, Anna, moved in behind us. Faith and Anna became fast friends, with running between houses and numerous sleepovers. Well, Anna's dad was the Beast on Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. When you live in New York, your neighbors can actually make a living in the theater. Well, we went to see a show, and we got to go backstage and to see the costumes and the sets. Faith walked out on that empty stage with that singular lamp on it, gazed up into that empty house, and thought, this is what I want to do. Oh my God, she was 4 years old! And she hasn't changed her frickin' mind. After James's experience, we just had to say to Faith, why not? I am proud of her piecing together her unconventional life. I have now seen people succeed in unconventional ways, so I have not broken down to say, get a job. In addition to their unconventional choices, my kids have given me hope for the future. They are the ones who are slowly changing my mind on how to consider things. When I grew up, there was such little diversity. Basically, you were Irish or Italian, and you were most definitely Catholic. I went to parochial school, but my parents wanted us to go to public high school before we went to Catholic college, so we could meet non-Irish Italians and non-Catholics. At college, we studied a trade like business, teaching, or nursing. There was no liberal arts in my family. My kids grew up in a more diverse world. Because they were not indoctrinated in Catholic school, they had a wider education and became very good thinkers. Some of the most capable business people I had met had a liberal arts background. So when my kids were looking at colleges, I felt comfortable with a liberal arts education instead of a trade education like I had. I knew they could go back to school if they needed it, but I wanted them to read, write, and think. As a result, they are adaptable and very open to new ideas and have taught me to be more open too. When I was growing up, there were no gay people at all. I'm pretty sure. Now, gay marriage is legalized. Where did all these gay people come from? Obviously, out of nowhere. It is the millennials that have changed that attitude. I thought I was progressive by working in the business world after graduation, but now I know how patriarchal the system remained. But millennials are changing that. When I grew up, sexual assault was a woman's fault. Now we're saying, huh, maybe the man has something to do with this situation. And it is changing. Bill O'Reilly lost his job. We think Mike Pence is weak because he can't talk to a woman other than his wife. This is radical thinking for my baby boomer generation. But for millennials, it's the norm. I know we are living in dangerous, rocky times. War and nuclear war are possibilities. The uneven distribution of wealth is going to cause a social upheaval. Old norms are being torn down, and better norms are slowly developing. And I am hopeful in this tumult because millennials are politically active. So during this rocky time, do not despair. Please take action. Donate to the arts. If you listen to a podcast, toss them $2 a month so that they can comfortably continue their work. If you listen to 5 podcasts, that's only $10 a month. Go to arts and crafts festivals. Buy some local arts. Do an art walk. Support Etsy. Go to a community play. Please take action by calling your representatives, both federal and local. Tell them what makes you happy and unhappy. Call them a lot, 3 to 5 times a week. You will get so good at this, you will end up taking very little time. Eventually, you may march for a cause. I've gone to some, and it's rewarding just to be a nose counted in the crowd. And vote. Please take action and vote, especially in your local elections. Doing so may change gerrymandering. Please take action by being kind and smiling to people you interact with daily. They will appreciate it, and you will feel good. The millennials are going to save us baby boomers from our own worst selves. And I am just tickled about that progress. Because of their efforts, everyone's road will be a little less rocky. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy DeMano. Give it up for Kathy, everybody. That was so great. Give it up for millennials. That's most of us, I think. Yeah. That was really wonderful. Also, Kathy certainly practices what she preaches. She is one of our biggest supporters on Patreon and on Facebook, and we really appreciate that very much. Thank you, Kathy.